Hello, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of How I Learned to Fly by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I chose this one as I posted on the old Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook of what you wanted to hear, or if I should just keep going in order from the beginning. And I got two votes for this, so we're doing it. The cover is like a kid clearly flying, because they have like a Chuck Taylor Converse on. And they're over the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's maybe some seagulls, except for they have red eyes and crazy-ass beaks and are floating all weird. They look like a, what is that, a wyvern? Whatever, the mythological creature. And it says, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a kid, as the tagline. Speaking of the Facebook, you can join it at facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. I'm on Twitter at Dune. I'm on Instagram at Dune_M. And, you know, Patreon, I think, .com/Dune. Maybe that's where you donate. I don't know. Anyway, this is the 52nd book. I just drank a tall can of Old English 800 malt beverage, and now I'm drinking Bud Light Platinum. Because I'm white trash, apparently. And do I need to get into anything else? Life's good. I went through, like, last weekend, I didn't record, because, like, every, like, 3 or 4 months, I'll just have this horrible, crippling chemical depression, where it's, like, comes on by nothing when everything's good, and now that I'm an adult, I just recognize it for what it is, except for, I kept, like, doing the thing of the stupid AA thing, just the act as if, and just trying to keep busy and stuff, and then I was like, the only way I'm getting rid of this is if I just give into it for a little bit. So I seriously spent all of last Saturday in the bath drinking and reading. And woke up the next day feeling much better just giving into absolute sadness. So that's my advice. Whatever horrible things your mind tells you to do, just do them. Even if it involves burning down orphanages. Chapter number one. The day I learned how to fly, I was worried about Wilson... Schlamme? S-C-H-L-A-M-M-E. Let's call it Schlamme. Wilson Schlamme. I spent a lot of time worrying about Wilson. I've always had trouble with that guy. Do you know why? He thinks he's better than me, and I know he isn't. I'm Jack Johnson. If you went to UC Santa Barbara and smoked pot, you probably hung out and played my songs at parties and everyone hated you. Just kidding, I'm probably a different Jack Johnson. And I'm not the kind of kid who likes to enter contests, really. I don't like to compete. Me either, I don't care if I win or lose. I always let my dad win at chess, just because it means so much to him to win. And I even let my dog Morty win our wrestling matches on the living room floor, and he always ends up mounting me. He won! It's a celebration victory dance! Gross, we got into bestiality on the first page! But Wilson never gives me a break. He always has to prove that he's the best at everything. If I'm chewing bubblegum, he tries to blow bigger bubbles! When my bubble is twice as big as Wilson's, he says that his is rounder. If my bubble is bigger and rounder, he sticks his finger in mine and pops it all over my face. Ugh. I was about to be like, man, I really am glad that doesn't happen to me, as I have a beard. And then I was like, I don't think I've tried to blow a bubble with gum since I could grow facial hair, which was when I was like 8. Because I'm Italian and Scottish and hairy as shit. He's trouble, that guy. Real trouble. Especially when Mia Montez is around. Mia is the cutest girl at Malibu Middle School. Ask anybody. Everything about Mia is cute. She has big green eyes and a perfect little nose. Fuck. Alright, I have to get new... The batteries died on my mouse, so I can't stop this recording. I seriously just considered leaving in the 3 minutes of audio where I hunt around my house for boxes that I've ordered drunkenly online that I haven't even opened yet because I assume it's stupid shit because I know that two of them had batteries. The track pad on the keyboard's broken, so I have to use a mouse, so it died. Point is, I'll just continue on with this. Jesus Christ, I'm bad at this. She has big green eyes and a perfect little nose. I think Mia's nose is the first thing I noticed about her. I really admired that nose. I guess that's because my nose is kind of big and dewy. And Mia has the prettiest hair. Short, straight, black hair, really shiny. My hair is dark, like Mia's, but it's curly. Way too curly and dewy. Know what Mia's totally crazy about? Hearts. It sort of makes sense. She was born on Valentine's Day. She wears a heart necklace every day to school, and a charm bracelet with lots of silver and gold hearts dangling from it. She must sound like when you put a bell on a cat, so you can keep track of it. Jingle, 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 jingle. On her right hand, she wears a ruby red heart ring, and she has earrings that match. She looks so cute! Oh, kawaii desu! And all those hearts. Anyway, when Mia's around, that's when Wilson is at his worst. He has to show off in front of her, and he has to prove that he's better than me. Wilson likes to compete. Wilson likes to win. So what choice do I have? I have to show Wilson that he's wrong. I have to prove that I'm as good as he is. I don't want Mia to think I'm a loser. Jack, can I borrow your eraser? My friend Ethan Polk tapped me on the shoulder. Ethan sits behind me during free period in school. He never has erasers. He's always losing them. What a hilarious character trait, you know? Like, if it was describing me, it's like, dude always has booze, and he's always drinking it. Sure, I turned around and handed him the new one I bought yesterday. Because he lost my old one the day before like some sort of asshole, I hardly use my eraser anyway, at least not when I'm drawing superheroes. I love to draw superheroes, and I'm really good at it. I never have to fix a single line. I just love the way their tights stretch over their body and the bulge in their crotch and their muscular pecs. Ugh. Hey, that's awesome. Ethan pointed over my shoulder to my sketch of the Incredible Laser Man. The Incredible Laser Man is my newest superhero. I draw superheroes every day. In the morning, before I go to school, during free period, at night after I finish my homework, and then when I go to bed, I dream about them. About those big, muscular men. Franklin! Leave Scarlet alone. About those big, muscular men. I lost my place. Anyway, he's thinking about just, like, gay stuff. He's gay. That's the joke I'm making right now as I try to find my place. I'm trying to say that he's homosexual, and somehow that's funny. Whatever. One day, I'm going to be a comic book artist. I have a folder at home packed with my superhero drawings. The Fearless Falcon. Shadow Boy. He's the black one. The Masked Mantis. They're all going to be famous one day. I know it. I studied my sketch of the Incredible Laser Man. He wore a really cool jumpsuit. His huge muscles bulged against the tight material. It actually says that one. I didn't have to add that. A powerful lightning bolt streaks across his massive chest. Two more lightning bolts zigzag down his muscular legs like SS bolts. I drew a pair of mysterious black goggles to hide his eyes so no one would know his true identity. I didn't know it either yet. First, I draw the character, then I make up the story. The Incredible Laser Man held his mighty arms up to the sky. I started to draw a laser beam shooting from his fingertips. The bell rang just as I finished. I jumped up from my seat. I couldn't wait to show the Incredible Laser Man to Mia. She was gonna love it. Hey, Mia, I held out my drawing to her. Wanna see my... Out of my way, Jackie. I turned and saw Wilson, that motherfucker. He was carrying a drawing, too. He shoved me hard from behind, just like I wish the Incredible Laser Man would. I fell over Mia's desk. My drawing flew from my hand and fluttered to the floor. Thank you, Wilson. Mia held Wilson's drawing in her hand. She flashed him a big smile. Look at this, Jack. Look what Wilson drew. I glanced over Mia's shoulder. Wilson had drawn a team of superheroes. 5 of them, colored in. In sparkly letters at the top, he had written, Mia's Protectors. Yuck. That's some White Knight fucking Tumblr bullshit. Look what Jackie drew, Wilson cried. He snatched my drawing off the floor. Wilson, don't call me Jackie. I declared. I told you a million times I really hate being called that. Sorry, I forgot. Wilson smirked. I won't do it again, Jackie. He just did it again, right there. Kids aren't clever. I glared at Wilson. Give me back my drawing, I snapped. I reached out for it, but Wilson was too fast for me. He shoved it in front of Mia's face. It's the Incredible Lazy Man, he hooted. Ooh, that's my new nickname. Mia giggled at his dumb joke. I wanted to disappear. It's very cute, Jack, Mia said, handing it back to me. Then she and Wilson slipped on their backpacks and headed outside, presumably to make out. Okay, so Mia liked Wilson's drawing better. No big deal. NBD, I told myself. I stuffed my drawing into my backpack. Just wait until we get outside. Just wait until Mia sees my new 21-speed silver streak racing bike. Bitches love 21-speed silver streak racing bikes. I ran outside just in time to see Mia circling my new bike. Cool, she said, trying to catch a reflection in the handlebars. Maybe I'll ask my mom and dad for a bike like this for my birthday. I knew Mia would be impressed. You don't want that for your birthday, Wilson snickered. You want this. Wilson pointed to his dick. Just kidding, he pointed to his new bike. His new heavy-duty dirt bike. Oh, wow! Mia exclaimed like the intro to Bitchin' Camaro. Wow! My stomach twisted in a knot. I don't like those skinny racing bikes, Wilson sneered, shaking his head at my bike. Too flimsy. I like a real bike. I was so steamed. I wanted to take his big dirt bike and ride it back and forth over Wilson's fucking head. My new bike was fucking awesome. It wasn't flimsy at all. Why did everything have to be a contest? And why did Wilson always win? Little did I know, as the three of us rode home, that... Goosebumps. Little did I know, as the three of us rode home, that the contest was only beginning. Chapter number two. I win, Wilson shouted, jumping off his bike. He leaned it against the tree in front of my house. He pumped his fists in the air like a Jersey Shore douchebag. The silver snail comes in second, he announced as I rode up, drenched in sweat. Great race, guys, Mia said, pedaling up to us. I wanted to ride home from school next to Mia, but Wilson wanted to race, and Mia thought it was a cool idea. The hills of Malibu are awesome for racing. Wait, why does this take place in Malibu, and the cover shows San Francisco? Ah, fuck it. It's California. It's all the same thing. Maybe you went over California Adventure at Disneyland, the separate park, you know? They have a little Golden Gate Bridge there, you know? And they used to have a thing called the Maliboomers! But I think they took it out. The wind around... They went... What? Oh, sorry. Hills of Malibu are racing. See, wind and wind are the same words. I couldn't, like, contort it into being the word I wanted it to, so I just... I'm explaining what I did rather than just going on. They wind around and around. I love to climb those hills on my bike, then go speeding down. I'm really great at taking some of the sharp turns. I gripped the handlebars of my bike. I was confident. I had 21 speeds. We raced on. Wilson won. I leaned my bike next to Wilson's, trying to catch my breath. Morty, my rust-colored cocker spaniel, trotted out from the backyard to greet us. Alright, so we've definitely established that even though his name is Jack Johnson, he's super Jewy. Because who else would name their dog Morty? Hey, Morty! The hearts on Mia's brake slit clinked softly as she scratched Morty's neck. Morty likes Mia as much as I do. His tail wagged like crazy. Speaking of tails, Franklin... Leave Yodi alone. Yodi! His tail wagged like crazy. He jumped up to lick her face. Then, he started on me. Whoa, here comes Wilson's dog. Mia pointed across the street to Wilson's house. Wilson's enormous Labrador charged full speed toward us. Down, boy! Wilson laughed as his dog leaped up on him. He nearly knocked Winston over. Terminator is twice as big as Morty, Wilson bragged to Mia. That's such a bizarre thing to brag about. But Morty is smarter, I boasted. We taught Morty to carry his food dish to the sink when he's finished eating. That's pretty smart, Mia agreed. You call that smart, Wilson sneered. We taught Terminator to answer the phone when we're not home.
That's definitely smarter, Mia said. That is really, really smart.
That's not so smart, I argued. Morty can roll over and... Oh, no! We all heard a cry. Mrs. Green, was my next-door neighbor. And she poked her head out of her front door and screamed. She stared in horror at the tree across the street, the tree in front of the Wilson's house. There was Olive, Mrs. Green's new kitten, sitting on the edge of a high tree limb. Her fur stood on end. Her little body shook. She let out a soft whimper.
Meow.
How was that? You guys want to hear it again? Let me crack my knuckles.
Meow.
You fucking nailed it. God, I should just get into voice acting.
Oh, poor Olive, Mia cried. She's going to fall. Someone has to save her.
I will, Wilson and I shouted together. Oh, no, you won't, Wilson, I thought. You're not going to win this time. With a burst of speed, I raced across the street. My sneakers pounded the sidewalk. I reached the tree first. Give me a boost, I ordered Wilson before he could argue. I wrapped my arms around the tree trunk and raised my foot. Wilson gave me a boost. I inched my way up the trunk and I gazed out over the hilltops. My eyes followed their winding path down, 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 right down to the beach. The beach stretched along the coast for miles, because that's what a coast is. I glanced down and smiled at Mia. Hurry, Jack, she cried nervously.
Don't worry, Mia, I declared. I'm on my way.
Yes, I am on my way to save Olive, and you're not, Wilson. I climbed higher and higher until I reached the limb where Olive sat. Her whole body shivered with fright. She let out a terrified squeak when she spotted me.
Want to hear me do that again? Hold up.
I had to gargle a little Bud Light Platinum. All right, here we go.
Meow.
All right, that one wasn't as good, but, you know, it's all right. I studied the tree limb. It was very slender. I didn't know if it would hold my weight. What are you waiting for, Jackie? Wilson shook the tree trunk. I'll come up and get her if you're afraid. No way, Wilson. I crawled out on the limb very slowly. Olive whimpered.
Meow.
I stopped. I crawled out some more. Olive inched away from me. I stopped again. Olive stared into my eyes. Then she lifted her front paws to jump.
I wish you would step back from the ledge, Olive. You're a cat stuck in a tree, but you shouldn't die.
You know, like the Third Eye Blind song.
Down below, I could hear Miss Green and Mia gasp. No, Olive, I begged softly. Stay. I moved a little closer. Close enough to grab her now. I slowly reached out to her. My fingertips brushed against her soft fur. Then, my knee slipped off the branch. I lost my balance and I lurched to the left. No! I let out a shrill cry as I dropped from the tree.
The third chapter is the chapter I'm about to read.
I shot my arms up.
Dude, you should really not put any needles in your arm ever. That's my drug advice. Just don't. It's not a road you want to go down.
I groped frantically for the tree limb and missed. Sorry, I have to wrap my cat up in a blanket because naked cat gets cold very easily. I groped frantically for the tree limb and missed. My stomach flopped as I plunged down. Down! I closed my eyes tightly, ready to smack the ground hard.
Huh?
Something soft broke my fall. Gotcha, Jackie. Wilson caught me in his arms. He held me like a baby. Great! Just great. I heard clapping. Mia clapping. Then Wilson dropped me on the pavement.
Ow!
My head hit the cement with a thud.
Are you okay?
Mia's voice sounded far away.
Yeah, I'm...
I struggled to answer, struggled to sit up. I struggle to do sit-ups, too. I quit.
That's when I saw that Mia wasn't paying any attention to me. She was bent over Wilson, studying a swollen finger he held out to her.
It's okay, Wilson assured her. Jack doesn't weigh very much.
No!
Mrs. Green shrieked. Olive, no!
Olive dangled from the tree limb by one little paw.
Quick, he snapped a picture and then made it into hang-in-there posters and made millions.
I don't know who he is in the story.
Aw, little cat. Not little, he's bigger than my dog. But Yoda's in a blanket, like got it from Disneyland. It's the Haunted Mansion, like the purple wallpaper with the crazy faces. And he's all wrapped up and just his little eyes and nose are sticking out. He's like an angel.
Wilson scrambled up the tree and crawled across the limb. The tree groaned and creaked under his stocky legs, but Wilson didn't give a shit. He looked so sure of himself as he crossed the sagging branch. He scooped up Olive in one hand. Then he shimmied down the tree trunk like Mowgli.
Thank you, thank you!
Mrs. Green threw her arms around Wilson's wide shoulders and hugged him. My narrow shoulders drooped. I felt miserable.
It's funny because we already can't trust the main character, because at the book he's like, or at the very beginning he's like,
Wilson's not any better than me, but clearly Wilson's better than him. Wilson is fucking awesome.
God, I wish he was the protagonist.
With Olive cradled safely in her arms, Mrs. Green returned to her house. I watched her walk across her lawn. My gaze shifted to my yard, where Morty and Terminator wrestled in the grass. Terminator battled Morty with his huge paw. He sent Morty into orbit over the hedges. Terminator charged across the lawn, jumped over the shrubs, and reached Morty before the dog had landed.
That's impressive.
Terminator knocked him out of the air and pounced on him.
I don't think these dogs know about physics, because all of this seems impossible.
Morty yelped helplessly as Terminator pinned him to the ground and entered him.
Terminator, stop! I shouted, heading over to them.
Leave them alone, they're just playing,
Wilson called, because he's cool as fuck and Dune likes him now.
But I trudged across the lawn to rescue Morty.
I like how the characters now are Jack, the main character, is someone that's constantly trying to outdo Morty. Like, it's not like Morty is that much of a dick to him. He was running over to show off his drawing, and the guy pulled out his drawing that was better, and then they wanted to race because they're already riding bikes together, and then he's going to go help the cat out of the tree, but doesn't even know what the fuck he's doing. He obviously can't climb trees like Morty, and he puts his own ego in front of the life of a cat. It just seems like Morty's just rad. That's all.
Even Wilson's dog wins all the time.
I grumbled. Did I say Morty instead of Wilson when I was explaining that? Whatever.
Morty and I are losers. Total losers. Hey guys, I've got to go home. Mia jumped on her bike. Don't forget about my birthday party on Saturday.
I'll be there, Wilson told her. And I'm going to bring Terminator. He has a big surprise for you.
Ugh. I groaned. Ugh. Are you coming to my party, Jack?
Mia smiled brightly at me.
Well, maybe. I tried to come up with a fast excuse. I hate parties.
Ooh, he's the anti-Andrew WK.
Don't get me wrong. I like to see my friends, but not at parties. I never really have fun at them, especially if there are party games. I hate to play party games,
especially if Wilson's there.
Yeah, what is the point of a party if everyone's sober?
I may have to go somewhere with my parents, I lied. I think I promised I'd go with them, and then I promised my dad I'd help him clean out the basement.
You did that last week, Wilson declared. Remember, I had to help you drag out the trash can because it was too heavy for your weak, stupid ass. Well, we didn't finish, I said, thinking quickly. I'm such a terrible liar. Mia grasped the gold heart around her neck.
You have to come, Jack. The party doesn't start till 6. I really want you to come.
Well, I'll try, I told her.
Great, Jack. See ya.
Mia hopped on her bike and pedaled up the hill toward her house.
Should I go? I asked myself, heading up my driveway.
Mia said she really wants me to come.
Wink.
So should I forget how much I hate parties and go?
Yes, I decided.
Yes. Maybe I'll actually have fun. Yes.
So,
On Saturday night, I went to Mia's party. And wouldn't you know, it ruined my life forever.
Chapter number 4.
Mia's house is 2 blocks up the hill from mine. Her house juts out on stilts. It's kind of dangerous, especially when we have mudslides. That's why it has stilts, asshole. But she has an amazing view of the ocean down below. I stepped up to Mia's front door. I felt really nervous. Maybe I'll just have a little nip off this flask, yeah. For one thing, I'd never met Mia's new stepmother. Mia spends half the year with her real mother in Brentwood, and the other half here in Malibu, with her dad and her new stepmom.
Come on in, it's nice to meet you, I'm Angela Montes.
Mia's stepmother greeted me at the door.
Everyone's been waiting for you.
Really? I asked, for me? Really? Mrs. Montes exclaimed. Mia's stepmom had the most beautiful smile. I liked her right away. I followed her to the rec room doorway. She waved to Mia across the room.
Mia, look who's finally here, she called. Wilson!
Angela, that's not Wilson, that's Jack, Mia called back. Oh, sorry, Jack, Miss Montes patted me on the shoulder.
We'll have a nice time anyway.
Mia grabbed my arm and tugged me forward. The room was jammed with kids. We pushed our way through the crowd. Red streamers hung from the ceiling. Red is Mia's favorite color. I spotted my friends Ray and Ethan in the crowd. They were opening plastic bags filled with red balloons.
99 to be exact.
Hey Jack, help me blow these things up, Ray called. Okay, I'll be right there. I liked Ethan and Ray. A lot. They were great guys. Fun to hang out with. I'd love to draw them as superheroes. I handed Mia her birthday present. I wanted to give her something she would really, really like. I had walked around the mall for hours searching for just the right thing. Thanks, Jack. I can't wait to open it, Mia said, gazing at the red stars on the wrapping paper. Look! The paper matches my outfit. Mia pointed to the red stars in her white t-shirt and leggings. Mia liked the wrapping paper. That made me feel good. Because my life is empty. Ray and Ethan tossed over some balloons. The long kind. And we started blowing them up. And holding them near our crotches and waving around like dicks. Because that's what you do when you're a young boy. Or a 28-year-old man. After we blew up about 50 of them, we batted them through the air. One after another, real fast.
A storm of red balloons whirled over our heads.
The kids went wild, leaping up, batting them. Over here, Jack, they screamed. Hit some over here. It was cool. Then Wilson walked in. Speaking of cool, am I right, listeners? Hey, everyone, watch this. He snatched 2 balloons in flight. He twisted them so fast his hands moved in a blur. Ta-da! He held his creation over his head for everyone to see. It was the figure of a man with huge ears, stubby legs, and a fat belly. It looked exactly like our gym teacher, Mr. Grossman. Get it? It's just Gross Man. Way to go, R.L. Stein. Very subtle. Mr. Gross fucking icky cadoodles, dude. Hey, it's the Gross Man, one of the kids yelled out. Everyone laughed. Awesome, Wilson, Mia's friend Kara shouted. Isn't Wilson a riot? Mia said to me. He can do anything. Yeah, I said, slinking back into my bath of depression like Dune, or at least in the corner of the room. He's a real riot. Make something else, Mia clapped. Wilson grabbed some balloons and made a pig with antlers, and a tiny elephant with a 4-foot trunk, wink, Freudian, and an enormous chicken. I guess the chicken is Jack, am I right? Everyone went crazy over that chicken. I was almost glad when Mia announced it was time to play Twister. Almost. I hate Twister. I told you, I hate all party games, because I'm a big bummer and fucking Wilson deserves to be popular. Everyone cleared the center of the room so Mia could set the game out. I shrank further back to my corner. I eased myself down to the floor. I did it slowly so no one would notice me. Jackie! Wilson dove over the playmat and yanked me up. It's time to see if you could beat the champ. Wilson is great at Twister, of course.
Wilson, I really don't feel like playing.
I wrestled free of his grip. I'll spin the spinner so everyone else can play. Not necessary, Jack. Wilson's mouth spread in the widest grin I'd ever seen. I knew that meant trouble. He placed his fingers in his mouth and let out a shrill whistle. Terminator bounded into the room. I do most of the sound effects, like the annoying clapping and stuff, but I'm not really good at whistling, so... You know, I'm not like a Mexican guy that can do it like at soccer games. Here we go. He whistled. That was good enough, right? That was a whistle. It was definitely a whistle. Terminator bounded into the room. Spin, boy, Wilson ordered the dog. Terminator trotted over the spinner on the floor. He gave it a nudge with his nose and it spun. Oh, come on! That dog rules! Franklin, do anything besides sleep and occasionally attack the cats. I'm sorry I woke you up. Jesus Christ, that face. He just looked at me like, die, Dad. Everyone cheered. Let's see him read it, I mumbled under my breath. Mia heard me. Wilson will probably teach him that next week, she laughed. Right hand red, someone called out. Everyone dove for the mat. Wilson got there first, of course. Terminator spun. Left foot blue. Mia announced the next move. Only two moves and we are all a tangled mess. Wilson's position was secure. He's fast. He always finds the easiest spot to land on first. I'm not that fast. Or witty, or talented, or funny, or smart. You're nothing. God, I hate Jack. I had to stretch my left leg way back over Ray's head to reach a blue dot. I felt a sharp pain in my side. Please don't let me fall, I prayed. I don't want to be the first one out. If I am, Wilson will never let me forget it. My palms began to sweat. Three kids had their legs draped over my right arm. I felt my hand slipping off the red dot. My elbow sagged. I tried to stiffen it, but it wouldn't stay. It slowly sagged more and more. Wilson craned his neck to see me. Jack's elbow's touching, he yelled. No, it isn't. Ethan came to my defense. Spin, Terminator. Terminator spun. God, that dog rules. Right foot, yellow. 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 I searched frantically for a yellow circle. I spotted one. I hoisted my leg up and over Ray's back, and that's when I heard the rip. My shorts split wide open. I froze. Superman boxers underneath. Cool, Wilson hooted. Everyone laughed. I glanced over at Mia. She had her head tossed back, laughing like a maniac. My face burned red. I jumped up from the game, and I staggered from the room. Wait, Jack, Mia chased after me. Don't go. No way I was going to stay. No fucking way. I felt totally humiliated. Mia caught up with me and blocked the door. Please, she asked softly. Please stay. Could I say no? Of course not. Mrs. Montez gave me a pair of Mia's brother's shorts to wear, and I returned to the rec room. Everyone was seated at a long table eating hot dogs. I had to take the only chair left. Next to Wilson. God, lucky. I wish I could sit next to Wilson instead of this cute-ass cat. I lifted up my hot dog. I opened my mouth to take a bite. Whoa, wait a minute! Wilson pushed my hand away from my mouth. You call that a hot dog? He held his hot dog next to mine. He had a foot-long hot dog, wink, twice as big as my regular one. He threw back his head and howled. Oh, probably not like that. Then he gulped down his hot dog in two bites. He's gonna be popular in the fraternity. He grinned that big, horrible Wilson grin. He was driving me crazy. A glob of gross mustard stuck to the corner of his mouth. I wanted to wipe it across his face. Should I do it? I asked myself. Should I give him a mustard bath? Ugh, I have no idea what sexual term that is, but I do not want to be involved. Before I could move, Mia announced it was time to open presents. Wilson jumped up and headed to the living room, where the presents sat, piled high, and everyone followed. Mia opened Kara's present first, a bunch of hair scrunchies with red hearts. Then she opened Ray and Ethan's present, a butterfly jigsaw puzzle with over 1,000 pieces. Oh no, how's anyone ever gonna finish that? There's over 1,000 pieces. Mia reached for my present next. I held my breath. She carefully untied the red ribbon. Then she ripped the paper open and gasped. Oh, Jack, she exclaimed. How did you know I wanted this? She held up my present for everyone to see. It's the new CD from my favorite group, Purple Rose. I knew she would love it. I really hope there's a band out there called Purple Rose based off this book. Hold up, let me really quick Google. Clearly this is important to me. Come on, internets. Purple Rose Band. Yep. There's a band called Purple Rose. I don't know why that was satisfying to me. It actually isn't as satisfying as I thought it would be to find out. I'd be like, no way! But in reality, I was like, yeah. There's a band called Everything. Whatever. Thank you, Jack! She set my present down on the table beside her. She reached for the next one. An envelope. Just an envelope, no gift. That's mine. Wilson leaned over and whispered to me. I can't believe Wilson only brought me a card, I thought as I watched her tear open the flap. Only a card for her birthday? What kind of fucking present is that? Hey, Jack, why don't you stop underestimating Wilson? He's a fucking badass. Mia stared into the envelope for a moment. Then she screamed, oh, wow! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! She held up Wilson's present. Two tickets. Two tickets to see Purple Rose at the Hollywood Bowl next month. Front row seats. Oh, wow! She shrieked again. This is totally awesome. Wilson shot me his big Wilson grin. I couldn't take it any longer. I let out a furious scream and I ran out of the house like a little bitch. Chapter number 5. I ran down the path from Mia's house as fast as I could. Ran down the dark road. A single street lamp cast a weak glow over the houses. Trees and shrubs poked over the path, as if reaching for me. I didn't know where I was going and I didn't give a shit. I just had to get away from that party. Stop, Jack! Come back! I heard Mia call. I glanced back and saw Mia charging after me. Ray, Ethan, and Kara were chasing me, too. What a fucking tardo douchebag. The fact that everyone's having a good time at the party and because someone got a better gift, he's crying and running. I fucking hate this character. I didn't slow down. I followed the winding path down the hill. I ran right past my house and kept on running like Forrest Gump, but even more retarded. Jack, come back, Mia shouted. I shot another glance over my shoulder. They were catching up because I was terrible at running and terrible at everything. I ran harder past some darkened houses that were set back in the hill, hidden behind trees. I picked up speed as the road continued to curve downward, practically flying down now. How are you practically flying when they're catching up to you? Because then they have to be literally flying. My toes jammed against the front of my sneakers as I ran. I couldn't stop if I wanted to. I ran until the road leveled out at the bottom of the hill, where a fence stretched out for miles, separating the beach from the road. I darted across the road and charged through the fence. Jack! Jack! My friends' voices drifted down the hillside over the steady roar of the ocean in front of me, but I ignored them because I'm a shitty person all around. I peered up and down the stretch of beach, staring at house after house. They sprawled out on a high part of the beachfront, with steps that led down to the sand. Lights from the houses washed over the sand, making the beach bright and silvery. No place to hide, no place! Suddenly, an idea flashed my mind. The abandoned Dorsey house. I could hide there. The Dorsey house used to be one of the most beautiful houses in Malibu, but no one had lived in it for years. Just a big old wreck now. A great place to hide. Are there really abandoned houses in Malibu, which has like the highest property values in the country? And what does this kid's parents do for a living? How can they afford to live there? R.L. Stein, tell me this shit. Jack, where are you? Mia's voice floated over the fence. Better hurry. Before they catch up, I ran down to the beach, past houses with swimming pools and tennis courts. I ran and ran, and finally, I came to the Dorsey house. I stopped and stared at it. What a wreck! The wide, two-story house once had a long awning that stretched all along the deck. But the awning had fallen from its poles. The torn canvas lay heaped on the deck, flapping in the ocean breeze. I stepped carefully. Several boards were missing from the deck. Others were cracked and broken.
isn't there going to be some, like, crackhead tweaker that's living in this abandoned house on the beach that you can easily enter if you're a kid?
I leaped over a hole and made my way to the door. I turned the knob. The wooden door had swollen from the constant wetness. I had to ram my shoulder against it to get it to open. I ducked inside.
Jack, where are you?
Ray's voice rang out from the side of the house. I quietly closed the door behind me. An aroma of rotting wood and sour mold greeted me.
If this was real, it would be hobo shit and hobo piss and dead hobo.
I squinted in the darkness, trying to figure out what room I was in. I stood in an entranceway. Beyond it, in front of me, was a living room. Two chairs with ripped seat cushions stood against one wall. The back wall of the room was completely made out of glass. Outside, I could see the dark ocean waves crashing against the shore. To the left was the kitchen. To the right, a long hall. That's where the bedrooms probably are, I thought, as I made my way, slowly turning toward them, leaning one hand on the damp wall.
Jack! Jack!
My friend's shouts drifted through the closed windows, but they were fading now, distant.
Why is he worrying his friends just because he's having some sort of shitty emotional breakdown because he got a shitty present? What the fuck? I hate this kid.
I walked into a bedroom, empty, except for a bare mattress on the floor that the Dorseys had left behind.
That someone was shooting up on? No.
Back in the hall, I groped the walls, trying to find my way in the dark. I stumbled forward and tripped over something big. It landed on the floor with a loud crash. I jumped back in fear, then leaned over to see what it was. Just an old surfboard, I realized. I let out a long sigh. I moved back into the entranceway, into the kitchen. The wooden floor creaked beneath my feet. A shaft of moonlight filtered in through the grimy windows. Some broken mugs lay on one of the counters. A child's pail and shovel rested in a corner on the floor. I stood in the shaft of moonlight. I could hear the ocean waves pounding against the shore, like I wished that electric superhero would pound against my shore. The wind began to howl outside. It whipped through the weathered boards of the old house. The wood creaked and groaned. I peered out the kitchen window and saw a clump of falling awning shivering in the wind, like a ghost getting ready to rise.
Ooh, imagery.
Something scampered across my feet. I let out a startled cry. A mouse? A rat? Something bigger? My entire body shuddered. This place was really creepy at night. It's safe to leave now, I told myself. No more voices. They're gone. They probably all went back to Mia's, eating birthday cake.
God, he ran away from him. Now he's upset that they're not still looking. God, I fucking...
I bet Wilson is on his third piece, I thought with disgust. I couldn't wait to get home, to my nice, dry house. I walked slowly through the darkened kitchen, across the sagging floor. The planks groaned with each step I took. Tiptoeing in my jowls, the door came into view. I was almost there, almost out of this cold, creepy house. I took another step and the floor broke away. The wooden planks crashed someplace below as I plunged down into the gaping hole. My hands grabbed on a jagged piece of floorboard. My legs dangled beneath me like some sort of retarded Indiana Jones. Help! I screamed, but no one could hear me. I tried to pull myself up out of the hole. The wooden planks under my hand creaked as I struggled to hoist myself up. And then the planks splintered and broke. I dropped through the hole fast, down, straight the fuck down.
All right, let's see what this selfish loser got himself into now.
Chapter number 6.
Into an underground pit? No. Into the basement. I landed hard on my hands and knees.
Do they have basements in Malibu? Because I grew up right by the coast in California, and no one had basements.
Then? Into the basement, I landed hard on my hands and knees. Pain shot through my body, then quickly faded. Luckily, the floor was soft and spongy from all the dampness, so I wasn't really hurt. I took a deep breath and choked on the bitter smell of mildew. Yuck! I could even taste it in my tongue. This was all Wilson's fault. How? How are you blaming this on Wilson? Wilson rules! God, I want to hang out with Wilson. Wait, when was this book written? Like the late 90s. Oh, I can have a beer with Wilson now. Oh, Wilson's probably like my age. Wilson rules.
Wilson always proving he's the best, never giving me a break. Okay, okay, forget about Wilson, I told myself. Calm down. You have to find a way out of this disgusting basement. I stood up and searched for stairs, a door, a window, but I couldn't see shit. Too dark. As if a heavy black blanket had been thrown over everything. My sneakers sank into the decaying floor as I made my way blindly through the room. My knee bumped into something. A chair? I reached down and ran my hands over it. Yes, a chair. Good. If there's a chair down here, maybe I can stand on it. He doesn't even know how chairs work. What an idiot. Oh, and climb back up into the kitchen, or climb out of a basement window. I moved slowly through the room. I sloshed through a deep puddle. The cold water seeped through my sneakers. I'm gonna get you for this, Wilson. This is how, like, crazy people murder people, by rationalizing it's strangers' faults. I tripped over a table, and something crashed to the floor. I heard glass shatter, and then I heard a splash. My heart skipped a beat. Another animal? Another mouse? Or rat? I didn't want to think about it. My temples began to pound. How was I going to get out of here? Asked the retard to the other retard. Should I scream for help? Who would hear me down here? No one, that's who. On trembling legs, I moved through the room, hands out in front of me, groping in the dark. It's my favorite R. Kelly song. I stumbled into another table. I ran my hands over it. No, not a table. More like a bench? A workbench. My hands brushed across the top. I felt a hammer, a screwdriver, and a candle. My fingers scrambled over the workbench, searching for a match to light it. I groped my way across the entire workbench. No matches. I backed away from the bench, and my sneaker rolled over something round. Something round like a flashlight. Oh, flashlight. I picked it up. Yes, a flashlight. My fingers shook as I fumbled for the switch. Please work, please work, please work. I flicked it on. A pale yellow beam of light reached weakly into the gloom. The flashlight was dim, but I could see. I'm out of here, I cheered like an idiot. I swept the weak beam of light in front of me. I had fallen into a small room. Thick cobwebs draped the peeling walls. A rusty washing machine and clothes dryer sat in one corner. A small wooden table and a smashed lamp lay on the floor in front of them. I moved the light closer and saw a battered camp trunk. I ran my hand over the lid. Yuck! It was covered with a thick layer of damp, smelly mold. Imagine if you were playing like Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 3. God, I love those games. And you had all the internal dialogue or monologue of this asshole kid. And he's just like, I saw a metal box, but it was rusty and gross, and I was scared to touch it. Then I opened it, and I looked inside, and then there was a what was that? Bobby pin? That's what you open doors with? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. The trunk's rusted hinges creaked as I lifted the top. I pointed my flashlight beam inside. Nothing in there. Nothing but an old book. I read the title aloud. Flying Lessons. That's what the book's about. The book's called How I Learned to Fly. I bet he's going to learn how to fly from the book called Flying Lessons. Doesn't Hitchhiker's Guide explain it? That it's just, you just have to throw yourself to the ground and miss? God, I love that Douglas Adams. I flipped through the yellowed pages, searching for pictures of airplanes. I love airplanes, but there wasn't a single plane inside. The pages were filled with old-fashioned drawings of humans flying through the air. People of all ages, men with white beards, women in long dresses, children in funny old clothing, all soaring through the sky. What a strange old book! I flipped through the pages until I heard another splash. I swept my flashlight over the floor and gasped. Oh no! A low wail escaped my lips. I moved the pale light back and forth, hoping I wasn't seeing what I was seeing. But even in the dim light, I could see the dark bodies, the tiny eyes glowing red, the open, toothed jaws. Rats! Dozens of rats scuttling across the floor, moving in on me. I leaped back. I gaped in horror as they closed in, sharp toenails clicking against the floor. Scraggly tails swished through the filthy puddles as they scurried forward. A gray sea of rats.
Yes. I was going to once again... I feel like every time it comes up, I sing that subhuman song. Talk about rats.
And I don't want to do it this time, but I just did it. I explained that I don't want to do it.
I froze in terror. I gripped the flashlight tightly to stop it from shaking. The rats snapped their jaws. They began to hiss like rats don't. The ugly sound echoed off the damp walls of the small room. Dozens of tiny red eyes glowed up at me. That must be what... slightly stupid sees when they're on stage, right? Dozens of tiny red eyes going up at them. Because pot. That was a pot joke. Fuck, I'm losing it.
The hissing sound grew louder. Louder. Jaws snapped. The tails swished back and forth and back and forth. The creatures scuttled over one another, eager to get to me. And then a big, fat rat darted out in front of the pack. It glared up at me with glowing eyes. It bared its sharp fangs. I tried to run back, but I hit the wall. Nowhere to run. The rat uttered a shrill cry. Kee! It pulled back on its hind legs and sprang forward.
Alright, I'm gonna see if I can get back in the zone.
Chapter Waka 7, Flaka!
No!
I screamed and tried to dodge away. The rat clawed at the bottom of my shorts. It held on for a second, gnashing its teeth. Then... it lost its hold and slid on the floor with a wet plop.
That was so unnecessary to slap my face.
Another rat leaped to attack. I thrashed my leg wildly and kicked the rat across the room. Red eyes glowed up at me. The hissing grew to a shrill siren.
Do rats really hiss? I feel like I spent a bit of time with rats and never thought of them hissing.
I batted rats away with the old book. I swept my flashlight across the room, frantically searching for a way out. There, a narrow staircase across the room. I ran for it, stepping into the sea of rats, stomping hard on them, flattening their scraggly tails.
Now I feel bad. Now he's just killing things. He walked into their home, fell through the ceiling of their home, and then just started stomping them. What a fucking monster. God, I hate this kid.
Claws scraped against my bare legs as I ran. Two rats clung to my sneakers as I charged up the stairs. I kicked the rats off, heard their bodies thump wetly on the floor. Then I staggered the rest of the way up, hurtled to the door, and out.
Alright, just started choking and had to stop.
And out. Out into the fresh air, gasping, my heart pounding, sucking in breath after breath of salty ocean air. I ran all the way home. I didn't stop until I came into my house, panting hard. I collapsed on the front lawn like a drunk. I stared into the living room window. The lamps glowed through the sheer white drapes. I could see Mom and Dad inside.
I live in Malibu with my mom and dad.
Wait, my parents are still together. Wait, I'm waking up early to go fishing with my dad tomorrow.
Oh, God, I am so white. It's all right, I was golfing with him last week.
I started to go in when I realized that I had still clutched the book. Uh-oh. I knew Mom and Dad would be upset if they knew I took something that didn't belong to me. Worse than that, they'd start asking me 1,000 questions. Sorry, axing.
Where'd you get the book? What were you doing in an abandoned house? What happened to your pants? Why are they covered in shit and are they ripped too? Why are you so pathetic? God, we regret having you. Why weren't you at the party?
I could see it. I decided. I couldn't let them see it, I decided. My wet sneakers squeaked across the lawn as I made my way around back to the garage. I carefully stepped inside. We have the most cluttered garage in town. My dad likes to collect things. Lots of things. He's a hoarder. We can't get our car inside the garage anymore. We can't even close the door.
Your hoarding has affected me in the following ways.
That was an intervention comment. I need to get my head straight.
Let me drink.
I made my way around a dentist's spit sink and the aluminum steps to Mrs. Green's old swimming pool. I hid the book inside a torn mattress, then went into the house.
Jack, is that you?
Mom called from the kitchen.
Uh-huh,
I answered, jogging upstairs before she saw me. I didn't want to explain my wet, muddy shorts. Poo-poo. Shorts that weren't even mine.
How was the party?
Mom called.
Okay. I called. I left a little early.
Ooh, drinking break. I get to drink again.
(Clears
We'll be back tonight, Jack. Dad met me on the front lawn. It was the next morning, and Mom and Dad were getting ready to leave on an all-day trip. Dad patted me on the shoulder. This is going to be our lucky trip. The big one. The really big one. I can feel it. Dad is always saying that. He's a talent agent, but he doesn't have any really big acts. Then how the fuck does he live in Malibu? Blocks from the beach. Nobody famous, just a few actors with small parts. One plays a train conductor on a TV show. Every week he has the same line. All aboard! That's it. Ooh, I'm gonna steal his job like I got brown skin. All aboard, week after week. And he is Dad's most famous client. So Dad spends most of his time searching for the big one. The act that will become famous and make Dad a lot of money. Today, Mom and Dad were driving to Anaheim to listen to a new musical group. I hope they aren't crazy, I said to Dad. Last week, a real nut auditioned for Dad. She played a Beethoven symphony by banging on her head. After two notes, she knocked herself out. Geo! And Dad had to take her to the hospital. No, this group sent me a tape, Dad's eyes lit up, and they sound really great. Mom hurried out of the house and headed towards the car.
Come on, Ted, she called to Dad. We don't want to be late. I left dinner in the fridge for you, Jack. See you later.
Speaking of Jack, he's about to use that as a verb as soon as his parents leave all day. Morty and I watched Mom and Dad take off. We played catch with a frisbee until the phone rang. It was Miggity-Iggity-Mia.
I'm sorry I ruined your party, I stammered.
No problem, she replied cheerfully. You didn't ruin my party at all. We all went back inside and had a great time. Don't be so self-centered, Jack. No one even realized when you left. You're just an asshole. No one likes you. God, I like that other kid whose name I already forgot.
Okay. So, what are you doing today? I asked.
Want to go rollerblading? I love rollerblading. I can speed around sharp turns on one foot. And I skate faster than everyone in the whole neighborhood. Including Wilson. Ah, that's his name. God, he's so great.
Sure, that's why I called, she exclaimed. Wilson got these new blades with balls underneath instead of wheels. They're much faster than the regular kind.
Ow. I just remembered I can't go skating, I told her. I have to stay home and water my plants.
Mia hung up. Good, she shouldn't put up with your shit. God, I hate that kid.
I peeked out through the living room window. I watched Wilson's house across the street. Waited for Wilson to leave with his new stupid inline skates. A few seconds later, he sped down his driveway and rolled down the block in a blur. I let out a long sigh and shuffled inside.
Why am I such a gaylord?
Come on, Morty. I snatched the frisbee from the lawn. Catch, boy. I tossed the frisbee. Morty let it soar over his head. He didn't budge. Great, now what?
Hey, Morty, I know. Let's go find that big book I brought home.
Morty followed me to the garage. I slipped my hands into the lumpy mattress.
Just like hooking up with a fat chick.
God, I hate myself. And pulled it out. I lugged the book into the kitchen. Okay, that one didn't work. I started to read it and gasped in amazement.
Morty, I don't believe this!
Chapter 8. Wow, Morty, I can fly! Morty cocked his furry head at me. God, that's cute when animals do that.
Franklin, if I talk to you right now, will you cock your head at me?
No. He wouldn't even lift his head up. He's sleeping and curled in a ball. He just looked at me with one eye and pointed his ears toward me. What a jerk. I love that he can sleep through my brilliant reading of Goosebumps. God damn it, Franklin. If you understood English, you would think I was amazing. I know it sounds weird, boy, but it says so right here. I pointed to the page I was reading.
Humans can fly!
Wait a minute. Am I crazy? Have I totally lost it? People cannot fly. Morty jumped up on a kitchen table. He stared down at the book, at a picture of a young girl with arms stretched out to her sides. She sailed through the air, her long blonde hair flowing behind her. Morty glanced up at me, peered back down at the page, then whimpered and bolted from the room. How come the dogs here are maybe smarter than the parents in every Goosebumps book?
Come back, Morty. Don't you want to learn to fly?
I laughed. Morty, the first and only flying dog. I turned back to the book and read. For as long as humans have walked the earth, they have yearned to fly, to float like an angel, to sting
like a bee, to glide like a bat, to soar like a mighty bird of prey. All a dream, a hopeless dream. Until now, the ancient secret of human flight is a simple one. You need only three things: the daring to try, an imagination that soars, and a good mixing bowl.
I should get into being a salesman. Because eventually my job will end, and I don't have a college degree, and I don't, like, make tons of money. I'm covered in dumb tattoos, and I have weird, poofy, fucking pompadour house party hair. What am I doing with my life?
Hey, I stared at the page. I had those things. Maybe I should give it a try. I had nothing better to do today. Or tomorrow, or forever, you fucking loser. I read on. There, on the next page, the book told exactly what you need to do to fly. It gave some exercises to practice and a magical mixture you could eat. Learn the motion, eat the potion. That's what it said.
That seriously should have been Viagra's tagline.
Oh, it would have been the other order. Eat the potion, learn the motion, winky face. Finally, it gave an ancient chant to recite. And that was it. The secret of flying. Right there.
Yeah, right, I rolled my eyes.
I scanned the list of ingredients I would need to make the potion. The main ingredient was yeast. Because yeast rises.
Yeast does rise. Maybe this really will work. Maybe I could learn to fly.
If I could, it would be awesome. I would soar through the sky just like my superheroes. I could fly, I thought dreamily, as I searched the pantry for yeast. Something Wilson couldn't do in a million years! And boy, would Mia be impressed.
It's funny that little kids just think that you can impress people of the opposite sex by having things or doing strange feats. Don't they know that you need to just have a podcast for the ladies to watch?
I could hear her now. Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, she would scream as I flew into the sky, leaving Wilson down on the ground like a bug. I'm gonna do it right now. I'm gonna learn how to fly. Of course I knew it was crazy, but what if it worked? What if it really worked?
Isn't that the same justification people give to pyramid schemes?
I turned to the page with the exercises. Step one, I read out loud. Hold your arms straight out in front of you. Bend your knees slightly. Now take 50 little hops in this position.
Oh, I'm waiting for you guys to all do this. If you're driving, just stop on the freeway and start at it.
I did it. I felt like an idiot, because he is one, but I did it. Step two. Sit on the floor. Place your left foot on your right shoulder. Then lift your right leg and tuck it behind your head.
Wait, this is just instructions of how to blow yourself.
This was harder to do. A lot harder. I tugged my left foot up until it reached my shoulder. A sharp pain shot down my side. But I wasn't giving up. I lifted my right leg up to my chin. And then I lost my balance and rolled on my back. I tried it again. This time I rolled on my side. Learning to fly wasn't going to be as easy as I thought.
But obviously, asshole.
I tried one more time. And got it. But now I was stuck. All twisted up, my left foot perched on my right shoulder, my toes jammed in my ears, and my dick right down my throat. My other foot pressed against the back of my head, shoving my face into my chest. I struggled to untangle myself. I stopped struggling when I heard someone laugh and realize I wasn't alone.
You are not alone. Chapter number 9.
What are you doing?
Ray, is that you? I tried to look up, but I couldn't. My chin was slammed tight against my chest.
Yeah, it's me. Ethan is here too.
What are you doing? He repeated. He must be practicing for Twister, Ethan suggested. They both laughed. Very funny, guys, I said. Can you pull me apart? I think I'm stuck. Ray and Ethan untangled me. Whoa, that feels better, I said, stretching out my arms and legs, wiping the semen off my...
I don't know. God damn, I wish I didn't say that.
I just regret opening my mouth. So did he, though. Yeah, I'm back. So, what were you doing? Ethan asked the question this time.
Exercising? I mumbled. I was exercising to improve my tennis game?
Wow, those were pretty weird exercises. Ethan's eyebrows arched way up. He wasn't exercising for tennis, Ray exclaimed. He doesn't even play tennis.
I'm thinking about taking it up, I said quickly.
Ray narrowed his eyes at me. He didn't believe me. But he didn't ask any more questions.
Want to shoot some hoops in the playground?
Ethan asked.
So he did ask more questions. I didn't want to go anywhere. I wanted to stay home alone and see if I could fly.
Well, that's what I did last weekend.
No, I have to stay home with Morty, I lied. He's not feeling well. Morty heard his name and charged full speed into the kitchen. He leaped on Ray and licked his face.
He looks okay to me, Ray said, narrowing his eyes at me again.
No problem, we can stay here, Ethan suggested. Toss a football around or something.
Ethan glanced around the kitchen. His eyes fell on the book.
I really wish it was an acceptable social thing. Now I'm starting to empathize with the protagonist, even though I really still hate him, but I wish he was socially acceptable to just be like, yeah, I'm not feeling very social right now. Okay, that's all. See you later. Like, I wish that worked, because I always feel bad, and I hate making excuses and things.
Ethan glanced around the kitchen. His eyes fell on the book.
No, sorry, I can't hang out, I said, tossing the book in the trash can. I have to clean up the kitchen.
I turned to the counter and wiped it with a sponge. Then I began lining up the spices in the spice rack, labels facing out.
And I have to stay inside anyway, to wait for my mom and dad to call. They're away. They said to sit by the phone.
Why? Ethan asked.
What's so important?
They didn't tell me. They said it's a surprise. I shrugged my shoulders.
All right, see you later.
Maybe. Ray said. Both guys were shaking their heads as they left. You know, they walked out the door and they're like, why do we fucking hang out with that asshole?
Fucking badass Milton?
Winston?
Winston. Wendell? Lives across the street. We should hang out with him instead, not this fucking weirdo.
I grabbed the book out of the garbage and flipped back to an exercise page. I read the flapping and leaping exercises next. I did them all. Now it was time to say the magic words. I read them to myself first to make sure I got them right. Then I recited them out loud slowly. Hishram, Hishmar, Shah, Sharam, Sham.
Fuck, I better not have just somehow made myself Jewish.
I climbed up. Oh, I did. My health is already failing, and I'm about to complain about it. No! I climbed up on the kitchen chair and jumped off to see if I felt different. Lighter. Floaty. I landed with a hard thud. Guess I need to eat the special flying food for the full effect, I decided. I turned back to the book. It was time to start mixing. In the cabinet next to the refrigerator, I found our good mixing bowl. I dumped all the ingredients into it. 10 egg yolks, 1 tablespoon of maple syrup, 2 cups of flour, 1 half cup of seltzer, and 4 tablespoons of yeast. I stirred. A lumpy yellow blob of dough started to form like a Vogon ship. I turned the page to read the next step. You are about to embark on the most glorious adventure in the history of time, I read aloud. Clearly this was written before World War II, which was the most glorious adventure in the history of time. You alone will fly with the falcons. You will sail towards the sun. Are you ready? I nodded yes.
You say yes?
I nodded again. You are wrong. You are not ready. Turn the page! I turned the page to the last page of the book. Empty 1/4 of the contents of envelope into bowl. Mix well.
Envelope?
What envelope? The rest of the page was blank except for a tiny spot of dried glue. You know those glue that are on the back of gift cards? We had those out during Christmas time because people gave us gift cards, and Yoda, the fat hairless cat, would eat every one of them, and we like would hide them places and throw them away, and somehow we'd track them down and eat the disgusting gooey booger glue. I ran my finger over the glue spot. That's where the envelope had been, but where was it now? I shook the book frantically. Nothing fell out. Ah, shit, I groaned. No envelope. No envelope. Wait, I know. I ran over to the trash can, and there it was. A small, black envelope. It must have fallen out when I tossed the book into the trash. I opened it up, measured 1/4 of the bright blue powder inside, ooh, Heisenberg, and dropped it into the bowl. I mixed well. The yellow blob of dough turned green. Then it began to grow and bubble. Small bubbles at first, popping lightly on the surface like girl farts. Then larger ones, growing from deep inside the dough, rising to the surface and bursting open with a loud plop, like Mayor Tom Ford farts. Plop, plop, plop. Yuck! I stood back. The dough began to throb like a beating heart. I watched it in horror as it started to gurgle. I gulped.
What was in that envelope? Maybe it was some kind of poison. Forget about flying. No way I'm eating this gross garbage, I decided. No way. The end. I'm kidding, that's not the end. I hate this kid.
Chapter number 10.
I grabbed the sides of the bowl to dump the mixture into the trash, but I snatched my hands back when the dough flopped over all by itself.
Wacky dough, wicka wacky dough, you need yourself some wacky dough.
It flopped again and again, each time making a sickening, sucking sound. My stomach lurched. I reached out again, and the phone rang.
We're on our way home, Jack, Dad was calling from the car. He sounded disappointed, most likely because he knows that he has to come home to me as his son.
So soon? I asked. What happened? The band members had a big fight. They called us in the car. They said don't bother coming to Anaheim. They broke up the act. I heard Dad sigh.
Wow, Dad, I don't know what to say.
Not to worry, Jack. I still feel lucky. Don't know why, but I do. The big one is coming. I can feel it. We're on the freeway. Should be home in half an hour, he said. Then he hung up.
I better dump this stuff before they get back, I told myself.
I turned to the kitchen table and shrieked in horror.
Ah! Morty, no, no! What have you done?
That might be the shortest chapter in Goosebumps history.
Might as well just move on to chapter number 11.
Morty, down! I screamed.
Franklin, I'm not talking to you. You're already laying down. I'm saying... forget it.
Morty stood on the kitchen chair. His front paws rested on the table. His head dipped into a mixing bowl as he swallowed a big glob of green dough.
I'm not going to yell, even though this says screamed, because I don't want to bother my dog, because I just love him. Hi, Franklin.
No, Morty. Down. I screamed again. Morty lifted his head. He licked his chops. Then he dove into the bowl for another bite. I sprang across the room and peered into the bowl. Oh, no, I howled. Almost half the dough was gone.
Morty, what did you do?
He ate the dough, asshole. Anyone could figure that out.
God, Wilson could have figured that out right away. I pulled his head out of the bowl. Morty stared up at me, his eyes wide with guilt. His ears drooped low. He whimpered softly. Then he dipped his head back into the bowl for another bite. I scooped him off the chair, carried him into the living room, and gasped as he floated up out of my hands. I stared in disbelief as Morty floated through the air back into the kitchen.
Morty, you're flying! I cried. How fun and exciting.
It worked! I couldn't believe it! My cocker spaniel was flying!
Oh, my rat terrier's napping. So what, asshole?
I followed him in a daze. Followed him as he floated over the kitchen table. Watched in amazement as he flew out the open window.
Morty, I cried, jolting and jolted back to reality. Wait!
Morty let out a sharp yelp, then sailed up, up into the sky. I ran outside and gazed.
Morty soared above the house, floating higher and higher.
Morty, no! Morty! I screamed. Morty, come back!
His legs thrashed as he floated over the treetops. Like that thing when you hold a dog over water and it starts swimming before you put it down. That's cute as fuck. He started barking shrill, sharp yelps of terror.
Morty, Morty!
I watched him sail up, his body rocked by the wind, his legs scrambling as if trying to get a hold of something.
Oh no!
I wailed, staring helplessly.
I've got to get him back. I've got to rescue Morty. But how?
I was going to record this in the bath because people are telling me to get back to bath episodes, and I enjoy recording them more because I like being in the bath. However, I didn't enjoy myself or anything because I knew Lax Dude would yell at me, then I'd feel bad, and I just, you know, that's why I drink, because Lax Dude's mean to me. Sometimes when he's nice to me, I drink in celebration.
Chapter number 12.
I knew how. I knew how to rescue my dog, and I knew I had no choice. I ran into the house. I plunged my hand into the bowl and grabbed up a big chunk of the disgusting mixture.
Yuck, I can't eat this. It feels so slimy.
He said like an annoying girl who doesn't enjoy sushi. You have to eat it, I ordered myself. You have to save Morty. It's the only way. The dough throbbed and gurgled in my palm. Ugh. A thin mist of steam rose up from my fingers. I groaned as I shoved a fistful of the stuff into my mouth. I clutched my throat. I started to gag. It tasted sour and hot. It scorched my tongue. I choked it down and grabbed up another glob, shoved it in my mouth, and swallowed hard.
You're never going to be able to eat mushrooms if you are such a bitch about dough,
you know? Mushrooms are gross. My mouth and tongue swelled with the horrible, bitter taste. I shoved in another handful. I had to make sure I could fly like Morty. I could feel the mixture throbbing as it slid down my throat. Gagging, I ran back outside. I gazed up into the sky. Morty flew high over the trees. His eyes drifted down to the ground. I could see his legs still flailing wildly as he floated higher and higher. He looked so small up there, just a speck in the sky now. Whew, I almost said spick. Way to go. I'm a-comin', Morty. I cut my hands around my mouth and yelled, "Don't worry, boy, I'll save you." I raised my arms up to the sky. "I will fly," I cried out. "Fly!" I took a strong leap. Nothing happened.
Chapter number 13, ladies.
Speed. That's it. I need speed. Don't we all? Oh, he needs to build up speed. I ran around my backyard. I circled it 3 times.
Faster and faster.
My sneakers ripped the grass. I ran as hard as I could. Sweat poured down my face. I'm ready. I'm definitely ready now, I thought. Gasping for air, I raised my arms over my head. I leaped high and came down. Nothing.
I don't get this shit, I wailed. Why can't I?
I know. The exercises. The hopping exercise. That must be it. I stretched my arms straight in front of me. Then I took off, hopping on the ground on both feet at super warp speed. Hop, 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 hippity hop. It just says hop a bunch. In caps with a period after each one. I don't know why, but I do not like how that looks on a page. I hopped around the backyard like a crazy bunny. This is it. I'm ready. I know it, I thought, hoping frantically. Morty, I'm coming. Still hoping. Still hopping. I bent my knees to lower myself. Still hopping, I lifted my arms over my head. Then, with one mighty hop, I launched myself off the ground. And came back down. What the fuck is wrong? I struggled to breathe. Why can't I fly like Morty? Morty! I gazed up. Morty drifted in front of a cloud. A tiny black speck now. A black speck? Never mind. Never mind. Oh, Morty, come back, I cried. A horrible taste flooded my mouth. The bitter taste of the dough. I could feel it throbbing in my stomach, churning. I could hear it gurgling up there, bubbling up through my chest, into my throat, into my mouth. I burped and took off.
It's almost as if R.L. Stine one time read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Get it? Because he stole that shit?
My feet blasted off the ground and I shot high into the air. I was flying. I can't believe it. I'm flying. I'm really flying like a superhero. Or like someone the first time they did hallucinogens. Whoa! I thrashed my arms and legs wildly. I rose up and up and out of control. I floated over my house, over the trees, over the hills of Malibu. I could see the blue ocean sparkling far below. Morty continued to sail up and away with me.
Morty, I'm a-comin', I shouted.
I kept my eyes locked on Morty. I tried to aim my body in his direction. Whoa! I did a somersault in the air. I whirled over and over and stopped, with my head pointing down and my feet sticking up. The wind pulled me higher. I couldn't flip around. My feet were still up, were straight up. All the blood was rushing to my head. I floated higher and higher, up through a cloud. Fuck, that is high. How cool is it? I hate when you fly in an airplane. By the way, never mind, because I do this too. And you want to look out the window and you realize no one else is. And you're like, fuckers, we're taking off and flying through a cloud. It's the coolest fucking thing in the world. But then I realize when I'm tired and hungover and had an early flight, I'm always like, turn the fucking window shade down. I'm just trying to sleep. Fuck you guys. Because we all get jaded to fucking flying. I gasped for air. I struggled to turn. I suddenly felt faint. Superheroes don't fly feet first. I scolded myself, do something. I brought my knees to my chest and my body spun around. It worked. I was right side up, but now Morty was behind me. I twisted in the air, struggling to turn, struggling to catch sight of him. Yes, I could see Morty floating even higher. I floated up, up towards him.
Closer and closer.
Hold on, Morty, I cried. I'm almost there. I felt a rush of wind in my face. 2 robins soared past, swooping out of my path. I peered down. My house and garage looked like toys.
So tiny.
Wilson's house looked even smaller than mine. Ha!
Wait, how's that even make sense? This house is bigger.
Wilson's so cool. God, even his house is cool. God, I don't want to hang out at that house. I was flying. I couldn't believe it. I was really flying. I floated up close to Morty. He stared at me, whimpering. His whole body trembled as he floated. Hold on, boy. I stretched out my hands, but I couldn't reach him. I floated closer. I tried to pick up speed, but I didn't know how. All I could do was float in the air currents, float in the direction they carried me. I grabbed for the dog. Missed. Just like he missed for the cat. God, he's so terrible. He floated 2 or 3 feet from my grasp. I'm going to lose Morty forever, I thought. A stiff breeze picked me up. I shot ahead of it. But so did Morty. I could hear his terrified whimpers as he floated up towards the blazing sun. The sun isn't that close, you idiot. You're not fucking Icarus. I floated closer, closer. I stretched out my hand. I could almost touch him now, almost. It was so hot up here. I felt as if I were burning up. And poor Morty, his little body heaved in the heat. His head drooped limply. His tongue sagged out. He wasn't going to make it. I floated closer. I reached out to him and got him. I pulled Morty into my arms. His entire body shook. I held him snugly against my chest. I gazed down as I floated higher and higher. Oh no! A terrified thought suddenly gripped me. I'm just gonna keep floating higher and higher. I don't know how to get down.
Alright, this was gonna be the last chapter I did on this one. It's slightly over halfway in the book. However, it's my show and I can go longer, and if I'm up to it, which I'm normally fucking faded out by now, I should just do that, right? I'll have one more beer. I have to pick up my girlfriend from work in like 4 hours. Yeah. Yeah, let's just trudge on, right? Maybe one more after this or two, or finish the whole thing. No, I won't do that.
Chapter number 14.
I drifted higher.
My temples pounded. What is up with this kid and his temples?
The world beneath me began to shrink. Smaller and smaller. I could barely make out my house now. It looked as if it was could fit in the palm of my hand. In the distance, the ocean stretched like a blue carpet. The beach was a slender yellow ribbon. Look at that description. I felt dizzy, sick. Morty gazed down and whimpered.
It's okay, boy, I told him. We're going home now.
But how? How? Why would he lie to his dog? I shifted Morty into one arm. I stretched out my other arm, pointing it to my right.
I swerved to the right. Hey, not bad. I pointed to my left and flew to the left. This was great. I pointed my arm down and, well, I started to dive. I brought my arm up quickly and soared straight ahead. If I held my feet tightly together, I picked up speed. When I separated them slightly, I slowed down. Like skiing, right? I've never skied. But, you know, I've skied, wink, wink, you know.
Very recently.
Awesome! I sailed through the sky. I floated, glided, drifted, soared.
Ooh, R.L. Stein bought a thesaurus.
I even flew on my back. I let the breeze gently lift me up, and then I lowered my arm and swooped down, then up again. I gazed out the hills below, at the houses that nested in them, the houses that seemed to dot the hills in a perfect pattern right down the beachfront.
Wait, by the way, isn't his mom going to be like, oh, did you eat 10 eggs? And all these weird specific ingredients that whoever buys the groceries is going to notice.
I could see Mrs. Green's pool, the size of a postage stamp from up here. A sparkling blue postage stamp. And the ocean, the ocean! I flew over the waves, holding Morty tightly, feeling the cold, refreshing spray on my face. Ow! Ski, 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 ski! Then I soared back up to the hills. Funny, I thought. Gazing at the world from up here should seem scary, but it isn't scary at all. In fact, it feels safer. By the way, the not being able to get down and going up too high and being in Malibu, that's just a scene from Iron Man, right? This Iron Man completely stole stuff from this, yeah? Can we get on that lawsuit? Yeah? But it isn't scary at all. In fact, it feels safer, calmer, not as confusing as when you're in it, down below. I held my feet tightly together and soared over my school. Hey, Morty, look who's on the playground. There's Ray and Ethan shooting baskets. I swooped low behind some treetops, then flew toward home. I didn't want Ray and Ethan to see me. I didn't want to show them that I could fly. Not yet. I wanted to show Mia first. Mia. Wait till she sees this, I thought, soaring higher. And wait till Winston sees me fly. Ha!
This will shut him up forever. I floated through the air, dreaming about all the things I would do now that I could fly. I gazed down at my house. I saw our car roll up in the driveway. Oh no, Morty, Mom and Dad are home! Did they see me? If they did, I was doomed. What do you mean doomed? What are they going to be like? You were flying, son. You're grounded. Literally. God, I'm funny. They would think it was too dangerous up here. They would never let me fly. Please, please don't let them see me, I prayed. Hey, look up there, I heard Dad cry.
Oh, my God.
Chapter number 15.
I swooped down behind the garage. I placed Morty gently on the ground. What did you see? I heard Mom ask Dad.
A bird on the garage roof, Dad replied. I thought it was a condor.
It was just a bird that he saw. There was no reason for that twist ending of the last chapter, huh?
They're so rare,
Mom commented, slamming the car door. Whew! I breathed a sigh of relief. They hadn't seen me.
Hey!
I gasped when I realized that Morty had started to rise up again. Down, boy! Down! Towards the ground, but not like late. Good job. I cried. I tied the end of his leash to a small rock. He took a few wobbly steps. He didn't have any trouble walking with a rock. It was just the right size to keep him grounded. He headed straight for the doghouse. I charged into the kitchen. What a mess! Powdery trails, hey-o, of yeast and flour stained the kitchen floor. Cracked eggshells sat in a slimy puddle of yolk on the table. And globs of horrible green dough stuck to the kitchen chairs, the counters, and everywhere. I could hear Mom and Dad unlocking the front door. No time to clean up. I tucked the small black envelope into the flying book, and I ran out the back door with the book. I tore out to the garage and slid the book back in the folds of the old mattress.
Jack, we're home, Dad shouted through the house.
Where are you?
Mom called with way too many O's. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I burst through the back door into the kitchen.
Whoa, what happened here?
Dad gazed around the room wide-eyed. Mom sniffed the air.
What smells like shit?
In here? I stalled, trying to come up with a good excuse. Mom and Dad nodded, staring at me, waiting for a sexplanation.
Oh, you mean in here, I said, sweeping an arm through the air. Just a science experiment for school?
It didn't quite work out.
Drinking break.
I woke up really early the next morning. I wanted to fly again, before school, before Mom and Dad woke up. I dressed quickly and walked silently into the kitchen.
Hey, Jack, you're up early.
Dad sat at the kitchen table eating breakfast. It's only 5 a.m.
I couldn't sleep,
I said, shocked to find him here. What are you doing up?
God, so much accusations.
The phone woke me up. It was a guy who said he had an act I had to see. Nelson and his amazing needles.
Amazing needles? I gulped. What does the guy do?
Well, Nelson is not a guy, Dad started explaining. Nelson is a chimpanzee, and his needles are knitting needles. His owner says Nelson can knit a sweater in 10 minutes, sleeves and all.
How the fuck do they live in Malibu when the dad is just as retarded as the son and thinks that hiring a chimpanzee into his talent agency is a good idea?
They have to be old money, right?
Fucking one percenters.
A monkey that knits? I let out a long sigh. Dad sighed too.
Well, the phone call wasn't a total waste. At least I'll get an early start today, Dad said, finishing his breakfast.
By the time he left, Mom was out of bed. Too late to fly now. I'll have to wait till after school. Mom will be at work. Dad won't be home either. That's when I'll fly for Mia, I decided. I couldn't wait. When the last bell rang, I charged out of school before Mia and Winston could catch up. I didn't talk to them at all that day. I didn't want to talk to them now. I was afraid I might give away my secret.
Everyone knows your secret, dude. You draw dudes with huge bulges all day.
Afraid I might tell them that I could fly. I like that I say that, making fun of him, when all I want to do for a living is draw dicks on things. But it's not a bulge, it's a dick. That's way different, okay? And I didn't want to do that.
I wanted to show them. I ran all the way home. I threw my backpack down, poured myself a tall glass of orange juice for strength.
Then, I phoned Mia. No answer. She wasn't home yet. I'll give her 10 more minutes, I thought, heading into my bedroom. Then, I'll call her again. I sat down at my desk and started sketching my newest superhero, me!
God, I hate this kid so much. I'm my new superhero. I'm my biggest fan.
I drew myself soaring high over the Hollywood Hills, sailing way above the big Hollywood sign. Maybe I should tell Mom and Dad I can fly, I thought as I sketched. That way I won't have to hide. That way I can fly whenever I wanted.
Don't you only have, like 3/4 of the little 8-ball of powder in there?
No, no way, I decided. They'll think it's way too dangerous. They'll probably think I'm weird, that there's something wrong with me, and they won't let me do it. I definitely cannot tell them. I have to keep this a secret. I held my drawing up and studied it. It needed one last thing. Then it would be perfect. A superhero cape. As I sketched the cape, I thought about Winston Wilson.
So much thinking about Wilson.
As I took a shower, I thought about Wilson. I couldn't sleep, so I spent some time thinking about Wilson and was able to fall asleep. Wilson, and the sick look on his face when he realized that our competition was over for all this time. And when he realized he could never win against me again, ever. When he saw me flying, I jumped up from my desk and phoned Mia. Still no answer. She's probably out making out with Wilson's badass. Still no answer. I wandered over to my bedroom window and peered outside. Hey, there she was, in front of Wilson's house with Wilson. Wilson was skating down his driveway on his fancy new inline skates at the end of the driveway. He had set up a small ramp, and he was rolling full speed for it. He flew up the ramp and soared into the air. Yahoo! He shouted and paid royalties to the Yahoo Corporation. Except I don't think Yahoo has any money anymore, do they? Shooting his fists up as he swooped down for a perfect landing. Mia applauded. You think that's flying, Wilson? I thought. Your days of showing off are over. Watch this. I opened my window as high as I could. I marched across my room, through my bedroom doorway, and out into the hall. I inhaled deeply and took a running start. I charged through my bedroom and leaped out my bedroom window. I spread my arms wide and fell like a rock.
Not Iraq, you know, because that hasn't fallen completely yet, you know, like a rock, you know, like a stone.
All right, that's going to end the first half of this. Maybe I'll start the second half right now. Who knows?
I'm Dan. This is Dan Reads Goosebumps. And I'm contactable. Oh, yeah. In the beginning, I didn't mention the email is Dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps. I got an email recently from someone in China. That was fun. He was like, yo, I'm learning English through you. And I'm like, I don't speak English good. You should probably go elsewhere for proper English. Anyway, that's it, I guess, you know? Stay spooky, bitches.